With our post-race media availabilities, we're joined with our race winner, Austin Dillon, driver of the number 3 Richard Childress Racing Chevrolet. Austin, made the playoffs for the 5th time in your career, won your way in. How does it feel?
Feels amazing. I prayed before, is like, let God have all the glory and light shine through me. And today, getting through that wreck, I mean, it was, I don't know what you call that. We went from 15th to 1st. I mean, I know what it's called. It's called, you know, the good Lord was looking after us. And it was cool to, go through that whole cycle of thinking that the race was going to be called for rain. My first reaction when I got out of the car was, stay focused. And, I was just happy to be in the position we were in. And I said that in my interview. I was like, whatever happens from here, it's a win. We're in a good spot, and that's all you could ask for. And you go in that room where they make you sit and put the camera on you forever, and it's like you're thinking in the back of your head that somebody's going to walk around the corner and say, hey, congratulations, you won. But you don't let your mind drift to that. It's like, you still got races, laps to go. And I knew after that second storm, had to get my mind right that if they didn't call it then, we were going back green. So when they went back to replaying the race, I asked if I could go on my bus, and I went over there and watched Paul patrol with Ace because he needed a nap, and he never went down. He's like me. He don't sleep. So just chill with him and watched our Carolina Cowboys. I watched them right up until the time I got into the car, and I knew they had won the game. So it was cool that we won and they won in Austin, Texas. So pretty sweet day. It's our first event win for the PBR team, and they won, and we did too. It's an amazing day. Thank you, Jesus.
Sounds like a great one. Let's go ahead and open up to questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. We're going to start over here, then we'll go to Gluck, and then over there.
Congratulations, first of all, on the win and on making the playoffs. Chris Gollum to News Daytona Beach. I think it's safe to say one of the key moves after we got going again was the either contact or near contact with Austin Cindric running for the lead. I was wondering if you could just walk me through what was your intention there and how did that play out?
So laps were clicking down, and I knew I could get to the 2's back bumper pretty good. The 62 and the 8 did a good job of getting up through there. So I felt like 3 Chevys in a row was an advantage. And in the back of my mind, I knew that the 12 car was still out there. And before, I didn't know where he was points-wise. But if I waited to the white flag to make the move, possibly if he wrecks or someone wrecks back there, it could take our shot away. So I wanted to make it before the white. And truthfully, that was just kind of happened. I was kind of planning on getting a bigger run than that before and pulling out to the right. And I figured that the 2 was going to be a sitting duck because they were going to go with me, the Chevys would, and then we'd race it out from there. But he just kind of got loose as I got to his back bumper that time into 1, and I'd kind of been giving him that same shove. I don't know if I just caught him a little more momentum that lap than the others, but when he got free, I just kind of moved up the track, and then I got way out front, and it's very hard to tell yourself to hit the brake pedal when you're driving away from the guys that are behind you to not give up that huge gap. So when I saw Tyler got there and they were all splitting up back there, I was like, man, I just can't let them get too big of a run. And I knew Tyler would have my back. He's been a good teammate to me and enjoyed working with him. So hit the brake pedal. He got to my back bumper. And from there on, it was more just kind of managing the gap to him in my mirror. And we were able to bring it home.
As best you can tell, was there an actual impact between your bumper and Austin Cindric's?
No harder than I had been the last 10 laps, hitting him, pushing him, pushing him. I mean, you see those flaps come up in the front. I mean, we're pretty much connected, and I'm pushing him. So, I mean, it wasn't any more than what I had been, I felt like.
Thanks, Austin.
Yep, thank you.
We're here to Gluck.
This is probably like as close to a ball don't lie moment as it gets in NASCAR in terms of like, it looked like, you were going to get it, and then you had to still go out and earn it. Is there any special pride in pulling that off after the circumstances?
It definitely does feel like that. I say that a lot in our basketball league when I get fouled, and everybody in my league complains that I get fouled because I run the league. So it's like when I knock down the free throws, it's like, ball don't lie. For me, it's one of those things that my wife she was upset when I came back because I got mad at her. She was dancing on pit road during the rain delay. And I didn't say anything to her personally, but I had Craven reach out. I was like, hey, stop doing that. We're going to go back racing. She came in there. She was all mad. And I was like, hey, I was just saying, we're probably going back racing. She was like, when you have faith, You enjoy those moments. That wasn't a happy moment to be up front either way. And so it was kind of like, okay, you're right. Have faith. And, coming down to the choose, even like when I had to choose top or bottom, I knew the 51 had a clean car. Brandon and I discussed it with the 19. Is his car going to be better on the push? Well, we didn't get going great, but I was able to get to second. And I think second was key right there because of everything going on behind me. I never got shuffled. And I could kind of, determine the lines and the pushes that were going on. So it was written. I mean, it's pretty awesome to, just be behind the wheel today. And I feel like it was a good day.
Go over here.
Peter Strada, TSJ Sports. Austin, in 2019, you were leading this race, and then the big wreck happened that ultimately gave Justin Haley the win. Just how full circle is the moment now? 3 years later, you got the win because of a big wreck, also in turn one.
That's actually very funny about Daytona, and I didn't even think about that, but I've always thought about, I tore down the fence, probably one of the worst wrecks in NASCAR history, come back, win the Daytona 500. 2019, I did feel about as confident as you could feel out front leading that pack, and Clint got a run to me and turned me in front of the field, and I probably, looking back, made an aggressive move, cutting left on him, and it was like, whose fault was it? It doesn't really matter. It's over now, but it's cool how this place just, I don't know, there's something about Daytona, and when you pull through the tunnel, things just happen here. It's exciting place, and always creates some kind of drama for sure.
Can go over here to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Going into turn one, you're behind Austin. I mean, was the intention of getting to his bumper and getting him loose? Were you going to move him?
Truthfully, it was just trying to get him out there. And I kept pushing him out. And he would do a really good job of being, I think he was on the brake pedal because it wasn't getting him far enough out. So the 62, he could kind of get to my back bumper and get a run. And we got a decent run through the tri-oval. And I mean, my intention was to get the lead before the white. So it worked out the way I wanted it to. But I'm not going to just say that was the time I really wanted it to happen. I was actually just trying to get him a little further out, and he got free right there into one. So
any concern though? I mean, he gets a little loose, so he gets a little sideways.
I'm glad he didn't come back up the track at a high rate of speed, and he did a good job saving it. But I mean, like I said, it wasn't any more than what I had been doing. So I don't know if he just kind of was turning left as I was touching him and it made him get freer, but that was it really.
Okay, we'll come over here, and then we'll go to Bob.
And Dustin. Terry Savison with WNDB. We were talking yesterday over at McDonald's. I saw you working through the drive-thru. That was pretty cool. It was a fun day over there. But
serve some Coca-Colas in the drive-thru at McDonald's. Yeah.
And I think the last thing I said to you was see you in the media center. Yeah. So here we are. Congratulations on the win. One of the Coca-Cola team, one of the Coca-Cola drivers, to win the Coke Zero 400 here at Daytona, to put the three car in victory lane, this is just, I mean, you've won the Daytona 500. To win this race, too, is this a great day or what?
The Lord's blessed me a lot of happy days, and this is definitely going to be one of them, and I'll cherish it and thankful to have my son in victory lane and Whitney and my whole family here. We love Daytona. We come down early to enjoy this area, and it was cool because my first win, Ace was too little. He was just born in Texas, so he couldn't come. So here's his first time he got to go to victory lane, and I don't know what he expected of it. And seeing him throwing around a little bit of confetti, at first he's really tired because he hadn't napped, but he kind of got the gist of it after a while and was having fun running around. I was terrified that he was going to slip in all the champagne and Coke, but he made it through.
Okay, over here to Bob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I had two. The first, is there any extra satisfaction to winning it in kind of, if they had called it, it would have been a little bit controversial.
Yes.
Win. Is there any extra satisfaction to winning it kind of straight up?
For sure. I've got four wins in the Cup Series. Each one of them mean something different to me for different reasons. The Texas one where I had multiple restarts and had to win and cross the checkered flag was probably one of, from the driver's standpoint, one of the most important wins to me. And then now this one too, is to go through all that and to be able to be, I guess clutch in a moment that mattered is important. I mean, to us in all sports, right? It's to deliver when you've got the opportunity to deliver. And this year I've had some moments that were very close, Charlotte being one of them. I mean, I didn't sleep a lick after the 600, just knowing that we had put ourselves in a position with a tire advantage. I made a heck of a move, and everybody's like, man, that move was amazing, blah, blah, blah. I thought that I kind of gave that away in the turn three because I overdrove it. And I got loose, and it hadn't done that the whole race, but I was carrying a lot more speed than I had the whole race. So that one hurt me, and it kept me up a long time. So, and I've always kind of prided myself is to finish races when I have the opportunity. And today it feels good to finish it off.
And Tyler Reddick obviously was behind you there for the last few laps. I mean, everybody knows what's happened over the last month. I mean, was there any concern of yours that he wouldn't play teammate at all?
No. When Tyler made his decision a couple months ago, I called him and congratulated him. And for me, being a owner's son sometimes comes with caveats, and I wanted to make sure that I had nothing to do with the reasons that he was leaving. And when I called him, I was like, hey, man, I'm just making sure I've been a good teammate to you. And he was like, no, you've been an amazing teammate. I love working with you, Austin. I love me and Alexa both really enjoy being around you guys. And I'm like, well, look, man, congratulations on your deal. Let's go try and win some races for RCR over the next year and a half. And for me, I was in none of his negotiations, talks, or anything. So it was more like he's been, you know, in a way inspirational to me to pick up my game, because he's got so much speed and he shows it constantly. So, you know, Tyler's been good for me. And then I think I've been good for him in some consistency aspects. So we've rubbed off on each other in different ways to really help. And when he got to my back bumper, I knew that I could trust him. Now, early in the race, he made a heck of a move getting on pit road. And I thought I beat like four or five people getting on pit road on the outside. And that little fart drove around me and like Stenhouse and somebody else and got himself in a good position. But I was like, dude, where were you going? Like, did you get scared at all about making pit road? He was like, no, I felt good about it. And that's just how Tyler is. Like, it doesn't matter what position he puts himself, he's confident in it, and that confidence it shows. So I'm thankful that he's been my teammate for this long, and hopefully together the both of us can keep progressing RCR forward, and it feels good to have us both in the playoffs.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports, to your left, Austin. What kind of, or is there a validation to being a playoff driver, or are you to the point with your career, you've been in it enough that validation is going to come more in your mind with being finishing top 10 and being somebody like that, as opposed to just getting in the playoffs in some years?
I think every time you make the playoffs, it's validation to yourself that you're one of the guys, you know what I mean? I think somebody said we've made it five times now, and I don't know how many years I've been doing this, but every time you're not in it, it doesn't feel good. You're not going to the banquet at the end of the year. You feel like you let your guys down, you let your company down. For me, it's everything, you know? So it feels good to get a car that I felt like we should have been in earlier than this, but it doesn't matter how you get in, you got in, and, you know, 15 winners or 16? 15? 15. It's a testament to this car and next gen and how competitive the field is. I mean, I don't think there's any other form of motorsport that has this type of competitiveness week in and week out. I mean, you go to qualify at Watkins Glen, and from first to 20th, I mean, you look at the timesheet and you're like holding your breath for a hundredth to move you up five spots. It's what the Cup Series is supposed to be. It's challenging, and never give up, because that's kind of, you know, what this year's told me.
So how do you do it? It's easy to get beat up.
It's very easy to get beat up. I've got a great support system. We've done a lot this year. You know, having a faith in our background, I talk about religion a lot because I feel like, you know, it's a big part of who I am. And so for me, it's just, you know, the Lord's blessed me with a great family that can keep me grounded, and I can lay back on something. Morals mean a lot to me, and coming back to that and having that support system is probably when you go through the ups and downs and, you know, the wrecks like at Charlotte this year or Atlanta. I mean, I hit the wall a ton at Atlanta twice and sore neck every now and then. But I'm not going to complain because I've been around those cowboys that ride bulls. Those guys live hurt, so I can tough it out. I'll be all right. It's a different type of tough when you get to go around those guys. And I think they've been inspirational to me, too. It's kind of drove me to have a little bit more fire just being around them. I did a training camp with them with some Navy SEALs, and I did the first day, and I had to leave for an appearance. But, you know, those guys are scrappy, and they're, you know, they have to love what they do it, to justify it. And if you lose the love for your sport, you're not going to perform at the highest level. So you've got to find why you're coming out here each and every weekend and doing it. And for me, it's family.
Okay, go over here to Daniel, Kelly, and then Al.
Dale McFadden, frontrunners.com. Austin, when you group this win with all the wins you've had over the last 4 years and also Tyler's wins this year, is when you look at it big picture-wise for RCR, is this the most significant that shows where your program is right now?
I think the next one is. That's the next time. You know, this is a big win. It's obviously awesome, and I'm going to enjoy it and celebrate it and enjoy the fact that we're going to get to go compete with the top 16 drivers. But it's the next moment, right? You gotta look forward to that next one to really see where the company's at, because this is sport. You just level yourself off of everyone constantly. You're constantly being judged against the guy next to you. So right now it feels really good. We came out on top, but we got 10 more weeks of this.
And when you're sitting back there in the room, yeah, just waiting, and they're parading competitors in there, do interviews in front of you, and you're just sitting there alone waiting, what's the worst part about that?
I was cold. I didn't have a dry shirt for a little while, so that was getting to me. And then just kicking my back of my feet on the little wall there the whole time, just trying to act cool. And inside, you're just chilling, waiting.
And is that why you changed fire suits? Because it was wet?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. And this one is actually a photo shoot, fire shoot, so I had to cut a hole in it for my water deal that we plug up to keep ourselves cool. And I didn't even realize it when I walked out there that it was, like, not ready. So I had to take a box cutter and cut the side of it to let the hole out.
Okay, let's come up front to Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Austin, you talked about this being a clutch moment, obviously a very big day for the team to win your way in. This race and the way that it unfolded with someone winning their way in is really what this format and what this race becoming the cutoff race is all about, right? So it's what the sport wanted. What is that like? What is this moment like from an adrenaline standpoint to be a part of that, to, like, immediately afterwards to be like, we did that? Because, again, it's what the sport wants, and everybody talks about coming down here and doing it, but we haven't seen it until today.
There's such a balance of, like, harnessing adrenaline and staying in the moment, and, like, because your mind plays tricks on you constantly, and you're trying to stay focused on what's at hand and not get too excited, because if you get too excited, you'll make a mistake or... So you're just trying to, like, keep a level playing field in your mind of, you know, stay aggressive, make the right move when your counts. I felt really calm over those last couple laps. Just the position we were in, I felt confident. And you don't always feel that at speedways. There's certain moments when I feel really good out there and I'm like, okay, I feel like I can control the momentum of the pack. That pack was a little bit smaller, obviously. But I've been in bigger packs and felt the same way. Xfinity racing, in 2019, we had that car that was unbelievable, and I felt like I was, you know, in control of what was coming out on the track. And so it's so hard to not let your adrenaline get too high. You got to harness it, but you got to use it to your advantage as well. After crossing the finish line. No, I don't feel like it yet because it's hard to, like, enjoy it. It's crazy because there's a constant weight or pressure. Even though we've crossed the win, I'm going to enjoy it when I get out of here at some point. It's going to be like, oh. But my adrenaline's still high right now. So I'm like trying to, you know, come down off of whatever that is that we get when we're running 200 miles an hour out there.
Okay, go over to Al.
Yeah, Austin, Al Pearson, Auto Week over here. We've looked at the replay a dozen times, and you went to the apron immediately when the big wreck happened. Was that your only choice, or was it instinct, or, you know, it looked like you knew what you were doing?
So I had no clue it was raining from where I was. I was just enough back where you can see my in-car and there's some sprinkles, but I thought that was like oil because the 99, when he kind of got turned and up in the air, I saw that. So my immediate reaction was get to the flat because I knew he was headed up the hill. You start to understand certain things of which way cars are going to – momentum is going to take cars. So he's going up the track. The next thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to get clipped and turn back left. So you're hoping that you make it far enough forward before that car comes back across the apron, or my direction change is really going to hurt when I get clipped and go up the hill. So the bottom is like advantageous because you always have an out. But in the same sentence, some of the hardest hits you're going to take are when you get right reared and shot into the fence. So when I hit the apron, the first thing that goes through your mind is you're coming off of a ton of banking at a high rate of speed to a flat. So you're back steering instantly as you hit the flat. I'm starting to decelerate just ever so slightly because you can't carry that same amount of throttle. I had made it to where I could see out the peripherals. I didn't know it was the four, but I knew a car was coming down the hill. And he did a good job not coming to the apron. But then the next thing, like I gas up for a second to kind of clear him. The next part is the 21s in front of me. And for a split second, it was like, oh, I'm going to hit the 21. And I got to the brake pedal and the car settled and just enough time to get the right front out of the 21's way and underneath it. And then it was clear skies from there. Just pick the gas back up, downshift, and keep your momentum up.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the back.
Austin, German Salazar from Telemundo. You say that in, it's your fourth win in the Winston Cup, and this means a lot to you. But how about for the whole family? Richard just said it, that it's been a long time that one of the family members don't win here in Daytona.
Yes, for sure. I mean, anytime I can bring Pop a win, it feels good. You know, he's the reason that RCR is where it's at. And when you can go make the boss man happy, it feels good. You know, he's been pushing me hard these last couple weeks. Like, hey, we got to get in this playoff race. We got to do what we can. You know, another point that I didn't bring up, that was all of our key alliance for Chevrolet in the top eight now are in the playoffs. So that's pretty cool for Chevrolet. And proud to be a part of that group that's in it for the Chevys.
Okay, let's come over here to Dustin and back over to Daniel.
Dustin Lomino, JSki.com. Austin, now that you're in the playoffs, how do you feel about the first round?
Actually, you know, the first round in for history, like looking back, has been a good round for us in the three team. We've done a good job of upsetting some teams in that first round, and Darlington is a good place for me. So that's a great starting point. I think we finished second the last time I was in the playoffs in that race. I feel good at Darlington. We got to improve on what we took there earlier this year. And that's a slow, slick place. And when those long runs happen, that's feel like that's some of the best driving I do is when the tires wear out. I don't know the next two places off the top of my head because I was so focused on only getting in the playoffs. I didn't even worry about the first round. So Darlington, then what's next? Kansas and Bristol. Kansas was a decent track for us, I think, earlier this year. We're just going to have to go to work, I mean, and really rely on the sim at Chevrolet and at RCR, and it won't be from a lack of effort over the next 3 weeks to, you know, progress and try and get another win.
Can we hear Daniel?
So, Austin, I don't know if you know this, but it's been 32 years since the last time a cup race here in the summer started at 10 a.m., 1990. Would you care to guess who won that race?
Somebody already said it. Is it Earnhardt?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. 10 o'clock. I'm telling you, this place has connections. It's crazy.
Okay. One more back here.
Austin, first and foremost, congratulations on the victory. I wanted to kind of talk about the restart where the car is all kind of wrecked. Did you see any rain? And secondly, on that last lap move to Austin or to Austin Cindric, did you do it for Dale? Was it?
No, I mean it was more about just figuring out how to get to the front, and I was thinking about the teammates I had behind me, and I knew that if I made a move, that I was going to have a little bit of help, and it just kind of played out that way. And the restart, I did not see the rain. My spotter told me immediately after we got through the wreck, it is pouring. And I was like, oh, I truthfully thought that the 99 got turned because that's all I could see from my perspective. Then I watched the replay, and I actually did have fluid. I thought it was probably – I didn't even – it happened so fast that I didn't know that there was any fluid even. I was just going to the apron to miss the wreck. So I never really lost traction like those first guys that hit it did. And that probably was an advantage too, that when they hit it, you know, might have dried it up. And when I got to the flat, it wasn't as wet when I got there. I didn't feel any dampness on the flat. I don't know.
Okay, any final questions for Austin? One last one over here. All right.
Your last win here, you went out and I think there was a tattoo involved. what are your plans? What's special going to happen here tonight? And didn't you have a golf tournament or something you're supposed to be playing in today?
I do. I have a golf tournament, and I was working on a plane flight the entire time because the plane I was going to use broke down. I was going to use my grandfather's plane, and he said after it rains, I'm going home. So then I've been working on a flight, and my good buddy Johnny Morris at Bass Pro Shop, that's where we're headed. We're going to Big Cedar to play Payne's Valley, and it was for the Dilly Cup. It's a tournament that my dad and I started last year, and it's just a fun, like, Ryder Cup-style format. And it looks like Johnny has waited around for me, so we're going to possibly go there, I guess. I don't know. Are we not? Are we are? Okay, I guess we might be going there. I don't know. Yeah, we'll have some good times there for sure. Yeah, there's no tattoo shops in Big Cedar in Missouri. But if there is one, we might find one.
All right. Well, Austin, thanks for coming in, and good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you, sir.